right in front of our eyes. I guess it's a Catholic paper I get. My mom always got it. She was Catholic before she got saved. When my mom got saved, the first words out of her mouth was, I'm going to try to quote her, "Boy, the Roman Catholic Church really confused me or deceived me." I can't remember the words. That was the first words after she prayed after many years, 80, the first words she said. So I get her paper still. She's been passed away since 2008. Keep what's going on. This is very interesting today to see what's going on so you can kind of see how the Bible is being filled right before our eyes. It's an amazing thing. It's not old-fashioned. It's being filled. The Holy Eucharist, bread for sinners. Now, this is, remember, Catholic, and this is written by Father Charles Ruby. He's been a priest for 55 years. So he's committed, you know. And interesting what's going on here. Listen to this here. He says, "For us," that's speaking of Catholics, obviously, "receiving the Eucharist is essential to our faith. Recently, I read an article about the Eucharist, and it was stating that the majority of Catholics believe that the Eucharist is only a symbol or symbolic in the presence and not real presence. There is only a minority of Catholics who believe in a real presence, that Jesus is actually presence in the Eucharist. The article was disturbing to me as a priest." What it tells you, a lot of Catholics have no idea what they believe. I mean, that's good for us to talk to them, because they're just going, it's a social club for them. They don't even believe what their own doctrine is. You know, now watch what's happening here, what's coming up here. "I believe that Jesus is actually presence in the Eucharist and not symbolic presence." Well, he follows his church. At least he believes what he's thought. It's wrong, but he believes what he thought. "This is one of the most important beliefs of our Catholic tradition." And if you're Catholic, it is. I remember when I was Catholic, they had the wafer, "Body and blood of Christ," you know, "Amen," he received the Lord, you know. Well, interesting here. They're having the debates because of what's going on in the USA, where a lot of the priests don't want to give, like, President Biden communion because he's for abortion. And they think it's very confusing. They use the word confusing here, article, three times. Well, hey, God is not the author of confusion. Well, of course they're confused. Of course, you know. And so, you know, their priests were arguing, should we give people that support, you know, abortion the communion? Well, if you believe what the Bible says, you shouldn't. I mean, they're obviously this is away from the Lord. But of course, the Vatican has made it clear that the paper should not, that this, well, they want to do a thing about the Eucharist, but this paper should not be pursued at this present moment. They like to delay. Because you know why? Their buddies in power right now. They don't want to rock the boat. It's political. I love the church and have dedicated myself to the promotion of the message of Jesus. Now here, next page over. This is where it kind of gets interesting about Bible prophecy right here. "My flesh for the life of the world, 2022 starting here in June, ending in 2024, right here in Annapolis. USCCB, that stands for the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, plan a 3-year Eucharistic revival. Remember last time I read about that guy who had that website? It was interesting to go to, and they're trying to bring up all the miracles of the Eucharist. They're pushing this thing here. And they use John 6:51. Now, I hope you all know, I won't get into now, but in John 6, that's where Jesus Christ is having fellowshipping with his disciples. And literally, that is a spiritual bread, but they think it's physical bread. The one time they take the Bible, should be taking it spiritually, and there's verses in there. If you want to see me later on, I'll tell you the verses. It's very easy to dispute that, but you know what happens? A lot of Catholics I talk to don't believe it anyway, so I rarely bring it up anymore. They don't believe it anyway, so why debate something? You see somebody that believes some weird things, you're trying to put a little bit of holes in their armor. Like, hey, wait a minute here. And then so maybe the Holy Spirit working in there to give them the truth, you replace that area with truth and witness to them, maybe the Lord will work in some life. But very few don't believe it anyway. So, you know, there's a simple, easy way to speak that with a few verses. But they want to have what they call a Eucharistic revival. They want to be able to get you receive some mark, some this Eucharist. They're making big deals. Now, here's our plan. Number one, foster encounters with Jesus through kegrammatic. But that word, I don't know what it means. I'm dumb Paul Locke here. I want a line that says, teaching of the early church fathers. You know, that's their thing, you know. Proclaiming the experience of the Eucharistic devotion. That's what the revival is. Hey, that's what it says. It says to proclaim the doctrine of the real doctrine, their doctrine of real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist through the trust of our teaching. That's the church, Catholic, of course. Beauty of our worship, goodness of our accomplishment of persons in poverty and those who are vulnerable. Well, that's kind of a social gospel. So we're gonna do some good things here, and look what we're doing. So now believe our doctrine, empower grassroots creativity by working with and movements with other apostolates, parishes, and educational institutions. They want to yoke with people that believe that thing. That's their goal. Reach the smallest unit parish groups and families. And five, embrace and learn from the various rich intercultural Eucharist tradition. What is that? I mean, how can you have fellowship with, think about it. They want you to have fellowship with something you take. Ain't that something? Think about that. And this starts here in June 19th of this year and will end in Indianapolis on July 17th, 21. I'll put it in my calendar. If we're still here, that's a great little outing to go over there and get some science and preaching, right? Right. So I'm going to put that in my calendar. If we're still here on July of 24, Indianapolis, let's go down. I'm up for going down there and passing some signs, get some Wise Mary crying tracks, and just see what happens, you know? You know, I mean, this for, you know, witness to them, you know? So this is what's going on. They're trying to awaken the Catholic Eucharistic, it's like a cannibalism, what it really is. It's a cup of devil. They're trying to wake that thing. Very satanic. One Bible verse they quote in the whole article, and that's at John chapter 6, which they pull out of context. Ain't that something? Okay, last thing before I get on here. Hey, kids, let's have fun after school at Satan's clubs. You see this? I mean, this made mainline news. Hey, man, you know what, though? I mean, this would have been ridiculous how many years ago? And now it's like the camel. It gets its nose in the tent, takes one step, and the big body follows. That's what happens with a lot of things. Take one, I got hard to read me, so I got to use this here. But look at here, it says here. Everyone seen this at all? Okay, this is actually a slip that, this is an elementary school. Now, elementary, is that 1 to 6 for elementary school? 1 to 5, okay, 1 to 5. So here, they're getting these kids at a young age. Get them while they're young. You know what though? They're teaching all this bisexual stuff. They're recruiting them. Now, look here. Hey, kids, let's have fun after school at Satan's Club. Science projects, puzzles, games, arts, crafts, projects, nature activities. That sounds pretty inviting. You know, and they got a little picture of a little rat reading a book, you know, in a Bible. And they got the Gotamendi over here on the left, and it's making up some kind of a do. It's like blood to me. It's all red. They're making blood, you know? I mean, not even hiding a thing here. Here's what they want to teach. Benevolence and empathy. Critical thinking. Problem solving. Creative expression. And personal sovereignty. Those are pretty big things for elementary school. But what's their foundation, right? What's their authority? I mean, you know, it ain't the scripture, you know? And, they give you a permission slip and everything here. And they use what they call who's that Christian owned that magazine, that company called Handy Andy, or it's called, or what's that craft store that Christian owns? Hobby Lobby. Apparently, Hobby Lobby, you know, he was giving his stores for church and everything, and they sued him, and Supreme Court said, you can do this. And so they used the Hobby Lobby Supreme Court rules to get in here. It's like If ever you've been on the street, I carry some of the constitutional laws. A lot of them are brought in by the Jehovah's Witnesses. So Jehovah's Witnesses pass some laws good for us. And it was a good law. It's about, you know, freedom of speech and all that right, brought in by Jehovah's Witnesses. And then they used the Hobby Lobby rules to be able to get in here. You know, so, I mean, this is in Illinois. I think it's in Moline, Illinois, main line. So it's interesting, you know, you see what's going on. People are open for ideas, and parents to let their kids go to school. That's beyond me, man. That tells you we're in the end days, folks. It's just bad news. Okay, let's get into some Bible stuff here now. I had a lot to discuss. I go, Lord, what do you want me to talk about today? And believe it or not, he goes, go back to where I had you originally here in 2 Timothy 3:1-9. It's about the end times. That's, you know, the Bible says be in season, be out of season, right? Reprove, rebuke, exhort. So it's good to be in season. We have end times around us here. And when you see some of these scriptures and how evident they are, how prevalent they are today, it tells you, hey, blast off can't be too far away. There's a real brief recap on this. This last days, almost every last days appear 8 times in the New Testament. And most of the time, I think 7 out of 8 has to do with kind of the tribulation. But here in the book of Timothy, the end times, the end time of the church age. So that's kind of what I see it. Most time, end times, you see it's a tribulation, but rightly dividing the word, no doubt about it. This is the Lord showing you we are in the end times of the church age and what we are in here. So last time I remember I went through a lot of these characteristics, and it says, this know that last days, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetousness, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedience to parents, unthankful and holy. I'm still on that verse, and I left off right here on disobedience to parents. There you go. So let's just look at that a little bit. Let's see how that kind of fits in here a little bit into end time. Why is this mentioned in the list? Well, like anything else, it comes down to final authority. What is your final? And if you want to get a conversation with somebody, to me, it's easy to bring out, but talk about authority. What's your final authority? So everyone has a final authority in their mind, right? You know, and kids generally, who their final authority is, are their parents. And if children cannot be obedient, who they can see down here on earth, how can they be obedient who they cannot see in heaven revealed by the pages of scripture? You get that? So there's, you know, God ordained it where, hey, you teach them and you show them godly traits. And then once you get that, and then now all of a sudden you have to get your own faith, then you're on your own. You have authority of the word of God. You can't say it. We live by faith in our New Testament, you know? That's real important, okay? Now, examples of this here. There's a phrase here found 24 times in the Old Testament. Here's what it says. And he did that which evil in the sight of the Lord. That appears 24 times, the exact same phrase, and that appears in the books of the Kings and Chronicles. And that's the history of what's going on with Israel. And this is actually a history book, a great history book, but look at that phrase right there. If you spend time looking at that, a lot of these kings, their reign was transferred to their sons. And I think all that have children, I guarantee you know this. You want your kids to be, quote, successful. Whatever successful is, right? You don't want to raise your kid to be breast. You birth this kid, spend time, and you want your kids to be happy, successful, I mean, whatever that is. I mean, that's pretty much a natural thing for a parent. Amen? Well, I'm going to raise my kid. Now, some people, obviously, the exception proves the rule. You can take them over to Satan Club or something like that, you know. But generally, people want their kids to be successful. And what happens here, if you study these things out in the Kings and Chronicles, some listen to their parents. summed up. There's a rebellion there. And every time it ends bad. It's just a, there's a, they're not being obedient. Maybe they're singing, they're not partaking. Even if they're doing evil, they want their kids to do right. They just don't do right. In my business, in the last 5 years, people call for amendments. I do wills and trust permits in my business. I can't tell people came in and, well, why are we meeting today? I'm disinheriting some of their kids. I mean, because their kids have returned against their parents and they don't want to give them any money. They're still their kids by blood, but they're not partaking in the benefits. Kind of like what God does. He has rebellious children that are his children in the Lord. They may not get any rewards, right? They're saved people because they're not doing anything. Somewhat similar what the child of God. You may be a child of God, but you don't obedience to God's word, you're not going to have a lot of rewards. You may be a doorkeeper. You know what I'm saying? But that's just because the kids are kind of disobedient in what they were thought and so forth. It's kind of an epidemic portion. I kind of hate doing that. I'm like, oh, man, I hear about that. Maybe they had some grandkids or something, whatever. But, we want to disinherit, so-and-so or our daughter, our son, all that. I just shake my head. I hate doing that. That's kind of going on here. And I don't care. In Mark 13:12, this is the context is tribulation. Remember, we're right there heading out to the tribulation. It says, Now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father the son, the children shall rise up against your parents and shall cause them to be put to death. That's what's going to happen in the second coming. They're going to be turning in each other. And you went, though, you can see it. Now, I know people right now, dads who won't want the kids won't want their dads come by visit them because they haven't got the vaccine, and there's a turmoil. You can see that spirit. I'm like, man, I know people that haven't seen their grandkids because you don't get the vaccine, you can't see your grandkids. I mean, what a sad. I know people like that. I think you might know some people I'm talking about. Whatever. That's just a terrible thing to be able to have that friction and hear. The policy put to death. It's like back in the old days of World War II there, and the Jews, they would turn each other's in a lot of times, whatever. They call them a rat. They turn them in, whatever. They're hiding somebody out. They turn their own people in there, to save their own skin. This is kind of a setup going on today. That's why I mentioned here. In this list of 2 Timothy, is similar to one in Romans 1:3. So a lot of times God will repeat something. Why? Repetition is the key to learning. Amen. You hear it again and again and again. Finally, it clicks. At least for me. Here's this list: backsliders, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Hey, wait a minute here. Do we have a lot of inventions going on today, evil things, folks? We have things they're inventing today that are evil. See that there? Right there. Next thing, it's being parents. They're inventing all this stuff, fake news, whatever it is, to what? To get all this thing coming through here today. It's just it's just crazy. I talked with someone on Friday, a lawyer and a CPA. I was first to talk to him about compliance, and he just brought it up. He goes, everyone needs to take vaccine. I thought maybe my buddy was telling him what I believe, but he's just saying this. And everyone in the whole country should be vaccinated, blah, 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 blah. And I go, well, I haven't taken the vaccine yet. Whatever restaurant you go to, make sure I'm not there. And he was adamant. I mean, there are people real adamant about this thing here. I mean, it's a spirit, folks. And what happens is it's an invention of evil things. Amen, Now, verse 28, what God will do? Well, look at the next verse. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which were not convenient. So God gives people over, and it's a spirit of deception, and they just leave their pure thoughts, and they just reprobate mind. Like, remember, it's a very, 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 very sad thing. So this will be the parents. You see it more and more and more and more, especially in your later timeshare. And it's just the news media, bad inventions, evil things, pride, a lot of things. Now, Next word says unthankful. Notice this fouls above disobedient to parents. See, they are completely unappreciative of what they receive from the parents because you know why? That authority is misplaced. Remember, it always comes down to authority. Once their authority is misplaced, then they fall into these type of things. An unthankful person is a miserable person. Show me someone. Now, this passage here, it's speaking to both saved people. I mean, and then obviously it says some. I think it's the world too. So the context is both. And if you're thankful, you are literally more of a happy person. I was telling Paul today, when I got out of the hospital, man, I'm so glad I got out of the hospital. They have this machine running in this COVID room. It's like a Chinese water torture. And my son-in-law brought over a boombox, and I put like Final Fight preaching on, music, and scripture reading. That saved my tail, but I want to get out of there for 5 days. And when my wife picked me up, when they put the little wheelchair over, I saw it come over to me. I'm like, get me out of here. I was all packed, ready to go. You had a smile from ear to ear. This cheesy grin. And when I got in that little wheelchair and I got in my wife's car, I rode home. Honestly, literally for 2 weeks, I sat in the chair, got the window, and was just glad to be home. That's all I want. For 2 weeks, I said, I'm thankful. And you went though? And I'll show you why important that is and how it ties in last days. Notice from Romans again, 1:21, because they that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. See that? But because in their vain imaginations and their foolish heart was darkened. See that there? By not being thankful. Hey, man, whatever happens in your life, if you're heavenly minded, you know that, hey, I'm going to meet the Lord one day and I'm going to spend eternity with the Lord. I avoid hell. If you just think of those things, honestly, you can never really have a bad day. You can have a bad time in your life, but just if you have a heavenly minded, what goes on here? There's some tough things go on in life. I'm going to agree, but it's real important. Now, look at the opposite of the believer and results. Colossians 3:15. This is for good people here. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also we are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Now, that's what our purpose is. But let me just show you the first verses before that in the context. The context is Colossians 3:12-14, the verse before. It says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy, get in a minute, and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, bearing one another, and forgiving one another. This is relationship here on earth, folks. Get that, man? You have a relationship on here on earth, relates here. Get that, folks? If you haven't got it right here on earth, it's hard to have it up here, okay? If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And then the verse I just read, and the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you're called in one body and are thankful. See, that's a result of the worship you have here with folks here on earth, and then the glory. If someone has not got it right here on earth, they're not thankful, they're miserable. I've been wrong. I know. You know why? I've been around, got gray hair. I mean, someone thankful here on earth is thankful to the Lord. I mean, or they're putting something on, or it's temporary, okay? But that's what, because the scripture says that right here. It's forgiving other people. Hey, I hope, folks, when you go to bed at night and close your eyes, you have no off against anybody. You know what I mean? Hey, you can sleep well. Seriously, I've had people that trespass against me. I know they have against you. Been around for a long time. And either by something they said, or maybe, you know, they borrowed some money or something where they trespass against you. You know what, though? What I've learned is forget about it. You know, I mean, it's easier said than done, but though, you get a peace, and the Lord works in that. The Lord sometimes tests you on some of these things. You know why? Say, hey, how about that scripture here? It's not easier to read it here than actually experience it there. But this is what though, being unthankful is a bad deal. I mean, it ruins your testimony. So don't be unthankful. Do not be unthankful. Which is bottom frame. Now, so we got disobedient to parents, unthankfulness, and notice how that it said right there in Colossians, it says, elect of God, holy. That's a very interesting word because you know, the next verse here or in the last days, it says people are unholy. And that's kind of an unusual word. It's a big Bible word. It's the first mention of this word, the word unholy, is found in Leviticus 10:10. And it says, and that ye may put difference between holy and unholy, and between unclean and clean. And the word there is difference. There's a difference. You know what? That's kind of a four-letter word a lot of times, not of Christian circles. It's, you know, it's called separation, a difference between holy and unholy. And let me give you a Bible definition, a good meaning of this word. By the way, this word holy appears 544 times in the scripture, and it's considered hallowed, consecrated, set apart, sacred, something to use for service to worship God, a sense of is frequently in the scripture as holy Sabbath, holy oil, holy vessels, holy nation, holy temple, a lot of Old Testament, holy priesthood, holy scriptures, holy in manner of conversation, perfectly just as good as the holy law of God, proceeding from pious principles or directed from pious purposes as a holy zeal, Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, Divine Spirit, third person of the Trinity, the sanctifier of your soul. So there you see through scripture, there's definitely a difference, a separation. Remember in Daniel, how I think it was Belshazzar took the drink goblets or things they use in the temple and had a big party on them. God didn't like that. He mocked God. He went and got all the things from the Jews out of the temple that were consecrated for the use of service, and he defiled them. That day he fell. You know, God just puts something in there, you know, and calls it that way. So, you know what, though? You got to respect it. Psalm 99:9, it says, exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. And that's important because obviously that's one of the key attributes of God, that he is holy. That's important even in understanding ourselves, but also understanding when we witness, because like, well, why would, you know, people, hey, I don't like that hell's eternal. I mean, I kind of wish I was a little bit of a Jehovah's Witness doctrine. They're going to annihilate. I like to believe that, you know? But, I mean, it says the smoke of the torment rises up forever and ever, you know? And you can't get around it. And, but God is holy, and he cannot put something unholy with holy. That separation. You know, I've gone to prison for many, 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 many years, over 25 years. And I always tell them this, try to relate where they're in. I go, hey, folks, if you guys did something heinous, and they might have done that, you killed somebody. You know, rightly so, it's your life for their life. You took a life in your life, life for life. That just makes sense. So you trespass against that person there, and you pay for it. Now, think about this here. You trespass, and the reason why your whole life, because you only live 70, 80, 90 years, your whole life, their whole life. You trespass God Almighty. You know why he's been turning in hell? Because you'll pay for as long as he lives. Get that? He lives forever. You're paying for it. You get, and they get that. Because you're trying to relate. Hey, yeah, wait a minute. If I take a life, my life's in jail, it's not a good deal. Hey, if I trespass a holy God, a holy, that generates some truth to get in their hearts a little bit, whatever, you know. So that's important to understand that thing, you know. Now, examples saying things. Oh, here we go. This is an attribute of God. Now, here's what unholy is. Not holy, not renewed, not sanctified, profane, not hallowed, not consecrated, not common, uncommon, impious, wicked, not reflecting the attribute of God. This is rampant pace today. It is just rampant. Everything, I mean, nothing seems to be sacred or holy. I mean, if you just kind of, hey, once in a while I watch the football games. I admit it, okay? All right, it's about all the hour you watch. Matter of fact, when I put it on, I forgot how to turn the TV on because I watch it so little that I can't go through the computer, turn it on. But I just kind of watch the commercials just to see what they're pushing. It's just wicked, man. I mean, I'm like, these shows they have on, I'm like, what is this? It's just vile, vile, politically correct. I mean, no offense, black woman, a white man, they're married. I mean, it's so queers. I mean, they have everyone in there. It's just terrible. Nothing at all with the scripture, you know? And you know what team I go for? The one that has the least tattoos and least gold on, least earrings. Well, there's so many people have earrings there, so I'm against the other team. That's how I do it. Because I just want to do something that's somewhat clean. That's just an amazing thing. And in my generation, to see the tremendous falling of unholy things, it's just terrible. And I think you understand that going on today. It's just nothing you see it published in newspapers or media or out there. You know, when I grew up, Sunday, everything was closed. Remember that? Remember that? Old people? And like my dad goes, hey, we better get gas on Saturday. Can't get it on Sunday. I remember that. How many people remember that, okay? Like, hey, everything's closed. Now it's the busiest day out there. Stores, everything, you know. It's just crazy, you know. I mean, that's that being, that word, difference. As our lives difference for the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, it's a different, not because we're trying to put a show on, but to honor what he did for us, right? I mean, are we a little different in our talk, in our walk, in our dress? I mean, you do what you want because you want to please him, not someone here. Please the Lord. He knows all that, you know? But the Lord knows all that stuff. You know, you want to please him. And this is his holiness. And that's why it says in later days, unholy. And it's just going on like crazy. I'm still Gideon. I was Gideon for many, many years. I remember I going to the first Gideon meeting. My pastor recommended me. He went through all the things they did. And it sounds great. I have one question for you, sir. What version of the Bible give away? All we give away is King James. I said, I mean, for $25, I could be Gideon, go all these people here, and my $25 covers all administration. Every money, penny goes to the Bible. I go, I'm in, you know? And I got deeply involved with the Gideon because I like to be able to use their organization to give out Bibles in schools and high schools and That's what I got into the prison and all that. And I went back to my old high school. Me and Willie went to Downers Grove South. You went to Downers Grove South, right? Amen. I went about, they went over to the New King James. And then they went to the ESV. So I kind of separated myself from them a little bit, you know. But when they were giving out King James Bible, about 2007, I remember going to, 2006, I went to the Downers Grove South High School. I stood outside, I wanted to go to school here. Bring back old memories. And this is the truth. I didn't see one girl leaving properly dressed. I don't mean wearing jeans or something. I mean, everything was just exposed. Everyone. I don't know, the kids, I'm like, man, there's not one person. How do kids concentrate? I'm like, well, you know, I understand that's just the way they dress. This is like terrible. I go, man, oh man. I just go, this is crazy. In our day, if you were a gal, came to school, they send you home. Yes, I'm showing, they send you home. This is my generation. It's that unholiness going on, folks. It's epidemic portion. Okay. The last one I have is without natural affection, but I'm going to save it for next time. Okay? But this is important. You can see these characteristics that the God put in here were just right here, getting worse and worse and worse. And a lot of Christians can be falling to some of these things, you know, I have to say. But for the saint of God, we need to really buckle our loins and just say, hey, we see this happening. The Lord's coming. You know, just real quickly, being that I've been home a little bit, trying to do my last year, I've even taken myself, slowed down a little things. Let me give you some examples to help you out a little bit. I buy some Amazon, it says, rate your thing. Well, I would rate it, I put scripture verses in there. You know, hey, well, I never rate them. I'm too busy. But hey, 4-star, this is good, but trust the Lord. I put scriptures and everything. You know, I get these solicitations from stuff with self-addressed envelopes. I write a note and put scriptures in there, send it out. So I'm just trying to, hey, whatever I'm doing here, I'm taking a little bit more time, you know, now, you know, just to make sure there's some gospel witness in it. I talk to someone on the phone, a client, hey, I'm going to talk to you about it. I try to get the Lord in there more and more. Because, you know, I'm trying to slow down. Lord, should we slow down a little bit here? And time is of the essence. So just think about that when you do something. Hey, can I get the Lord's in there by a track, a witness? There's so many things you can do. You'd be surprised if you think about it. Say, Lord, what can I use today to get some witness in there, some track in there? A guy helped me out on the legal matter. Didn't even charge me. His name was Fred Love. I bought a Bible for him from Brother Hoffman, a nice one, and I'm sending him a nice Bible with a little gift card. I had a lady that I applied for my membership at a club I belong to that has a property, and I put a gospel track in there. Thank you very much to what we have here, with a nice note and a $10 gift card for coffee. And now I just get back and goes, hey, thank you very much for your note. You see what I'm saying? Just a little thing here, just a little thing now in the last day, try to be a little light. I mean, with the gospel attached to it. It'd be a nice walk across the street, but a gospel attached. You can do those things, folks, in these latter days as it's getting worse and worse. And then you're such a contrast to what's going on here. You're holy. They look at you as holy or different. We call it holy. Why are they different? Right here. Okay. Father in heaven, thank you very much for an opportunity to open up the precious word and look here in 2 Timothy and see these things so prevalent today, not only around our local community, around us, but our city, our state, our country, and the world. It's an amazing thing. So we know that time is drawing nigh to your return for the church of God getting out of here. That's exciting to me. So may we be able to use us, think of these things so we're able to be a blessing to you and hear those great words. Well done, good and faithful servant. Thank you, Lord, what you've done. And we ask that you close this time out now and look forward to Brother Hoffman coming here and opening up, singing some hymns, and opening up the Word of God. May I be attentive to what is said that could change us a little bit more, Father. Give us a little bit of meat and some meat, some milk, Father, that we can digest to change us so we're able to glorify you more. We'll ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.